Right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can find your place. We're going to be in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis tonight. And we're going to be in chapter number 17. Genesis chapter number 17. I want us to look tonight at the thought of who God is. And He is not just a small God. He is not just an inconsequential God. But He is Almighty God. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. He is all-powerful. And He is who He says He is. And so you found your place there in Genesis chapter 17. And of course, this is where God is, it's after the birth of Ishmael in chapter 16, the story of Hagar bearing a son to Abram. And of course, Hagar was given to Abram in chapter 16. Hagar would then have an interaction with the angel of the Lord. And then the birth of Ishmael would happen at the latter end of chapter number 16. And we know that Ishmael was not the original intended son for Abram. And because of that, here in chapter 17, God is now having to renew His covenant with Abram, and He would now go from Abram to Abraham. Sarai, his wife, would go from Sarai to Sarah, and now God would promise Abraham and Sarah a son. And that son would, of course, Ishmael was promised to be a great nation at the end of verses 20 through 22. Abraham's household would be circumcised towards the end of chapter 17. And so that's kind of where we are in the grand scheme of the text we're going to look at here tonight. So you're there, Genesis chapter 17. And notice there, if you would, just verse number 1. Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when Abram was 90 years old." Now, you go back up to verse number 16 of chapter number 16. The Bible says, "And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." So some time has passed here between chapter 16 and chapter 17. "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." And I don't know about you, but if I was 99 years old and God was coming to me at 99 years old and just now telling me to be perfect, I don't know what I would think. Because I'm 99 years old, I mean, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to 99 years old, to be completely truthful with you tonight. But and none of us know if we're going to make it that long. But God comes to him, but I want you to notice there, the very first part of it, he says, "I am the Almighty God." I am the Almighty God. Now, this is the first of 48 times of this designation of God by the term Almighty in the Old Testament. So from Genesis to Malachi, this is the first time God is referred to as Almighty God. The first of 48 times that he's referred to as Almighty God. There are 9 times when you get to the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, there are 9 times where God is called Almighty, plus once where he is called omnipotent or all-powerful. We know he's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's with us here tonight. And the last time that this is phrasing, this terminology, this designation occurs, is towards the end of our Bibles. Turn, if you would, keep your finger in Genesis. We'll be back. But notice, if you would, Revelation, the last book of the Bible now. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And notice there, if you would, verse number 22. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." And so we see here that the Bible tells us that there is no special temple in the holy city. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty, he is the Lamb, the temple of it. And so in the first and last books of the Bible, and often in between the first and last books of the Bible, we are reminded that God is an omnipotent God, that he is an all-powerful God. Look, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Again, keep your finger in Genesis. We'll be back there. Genesis chapter 32. Or I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. And if you can't get there quickly, you can just listen as well. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neri, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." We need to understand tonight that our all-powerful God, our omnipotent God, our Almighty God, that there is nothing too hard for God. You're going back there to Genesis. And so now we look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And notice there, if you would, verse number 9. Verse number 9. The Bible says, "And they said unto him," where is, of course, "they said unto him," this is Abraham's heavenly visitors from verses 1 through 8. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Verse number 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Remember, 99 years old at least. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Notice verse number 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the same time, appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And so we see here, Sarah, she laughs. But God responds with a simple question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, so many times in life, we look at our circumstances and we look at our situation and we look at things that are going on around us and we think, man, this situation is hopeless. And meanwhile, the God of heaven, he's in heaven saying, hey, I'm still God. I'm still the Almighty. I'm still in control. There's nothing that's too hard for me. There's nothing that I cannot do. Should it be my will and for your good and for my glory. Go over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter, and you can leave Genesis where I believe we're done there. Luke chapter number 1, second book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or third book of the New Testament, rather. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And then notice verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Many years later, after Genesis 18, the angel comes to Mary and tells the Virgin Mary, you're going to have a son, and that son is going to be the child of God, the Son of God. And Mary, rightfully so. You know, how can this be? I've never known a man. I'm still a virgin. And the angel tells her, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And he even shows her cousin Elizabeth. Up to this point, Elizabeth had been barren. And now Elizabeth is going to have, she's in her sixth month of pregnancy, who up to that point had been barren, this was not their doing, it was the Lord's doing because of who He was, the Almighty God. Now, we understand tonight that God is Almighty, but we also need to understand that there are some things that God just cannot do. Notice, if you would, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, right after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 1. And notice there, verse number 13. James chapter 1 and verse number 13. Or let's begin in verse number 12 there. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And here's the key, verse number 13. "Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And so the first thing God cannot do is God cannot be tempted with evil. So He cannot tempt us to do that which is wrong. He cannot tempt us to do that which is sinful. And then notice, if you would, the book of Titus. The book of Titus, chapter 1. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus. Right before Philemon and Hebrews. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And notice there, beginning at verse number 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and following. The Bible says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior." So the first thing that God cannot do, He cannot tempt us to do evil. He cannot tempt us to sin. He cannot tempt us to do wrong. But then the second thing God cannot do is God cannot lie. So whatever you read in the Bible that God says, you can know that it's true because God cannot lie. And so whatever God does is right, and whatever God says is true. Now listen, and this is just a simple fact tonight. And that is, we may not always understand just why God does what He does. We may not always understand why God says what He says. But one day, when we get to eternity, one day when we get to heaven, we will learn that He is indeed to do, and He is indeed able to do what He says He's going to do. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is Almighty God. So then why is it that sometimes we have such a hard time trusting Him? Listen, we trust Him enough to save our soul. That when we asked him to, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. Lord, forgive me of my sin and take me to heaven when I die. And we trusted him enough to do that, to trust him enough with our eternity, that when we asked for forgiveness, we trusted him to forgive us, and that when we die, when we take our last breath, that we're going to go to heaven. But then, for everything else of life, we worry and we fret and we don't trust him. We need to learn to trust him because he is omnipotent and he is all-powerful. God created the cosmos. Everything we see around us, in all of its microscopic and macroscopic complexity, in all of its detail, the living kinds with all of their microscopic complexity, everything that even to this day scientists are still trying to understand, God created that all. You say, how do we know that? Final portion of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. We already read verse 16 and 17. Notice there, if you would, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I want you to know tonight and be encouraged that whatever it is you're going through, wherever it is you find yourself in life, tonight we're praying for several different people. We're praying for Brindley down at Geisinger, 1-year-old with cancer. No one understands why a 1-year-old gets cancer. But I know that there's a God that can take care of her. And I know that there's a God that even when the doctors might look at, you know, those test results and, you know, and even though she's, you know, responding well to treatment, you know, there might be some other kids there that they're not responding so well. God is still the all-powerful God that can intervene in those situations, and taking care of Brindley, he can take care of those other kids. I remember when I was dealing with leukemia there at the end of high school, and you know, I was able to go to CHOP there in Philly, and you know, and I can praise the Lord that I responded to the chemo very well. But there were other kids in that same hospital that they were dealing with the same form of cancer, and they weren't dealing as well. But, you know, the same God that was there taking care of me, he was the same God that was taking care of them and helping their family to have that comfort that they needed. And he's there with Brindley tonight. And you know, we can praise the Lord that she's responding well to that treatment. Walt Jr. down or there in Boston, and you know, they're saying things don't look too good for him, but guess what? He's still the same all-powerful God that, you know, can help Walt Jr. get his strength back, and you know, when the doctors, you know, say, you know, all hope is lost, and then all of a sudden, you know, something happens that they can't explain, you know, then, you know, that's the Lord, and we just need to learn to trust him, and that, you know, if it's his will to heal, then you know, these folks will be healed, and if it's his will to, you know, take them home, then that's his will, and either way, he'll give comfort and peace and guidance. But we just need to be reminded tonight that there is nothing too hard for God. When the world says it's too hard, when the doctors say it looks impossible, God doesn't see it as impossible. Because with God, there shall be nothing impossible. I am the Lord God Almighty. And so be encouraged tonight, no matter what it is you're facing. And listen, Brinley, she's facing her own thing. Walt Jr. is facing his own thing. But guess what? You're here tonight. You probably have your own things you're facing. I have my own things I'm facing. Mandy has her things she's facing. Whatever it is you're facing, it is not too hard for God. And so be encouraged with that here tonight. Let's pray.